So, flamethrower drones are a thing now. And more coming up on today's episode of Lays and Tech News. Hey, Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is Lays and Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hey, hit that subscribe button right now so that you don't miss out on the latest news, and click that like button if you're watching today's show via YouTube, well, when you get to a part of the show that you actually like. Also, the forums, the community forums that we have here at Tech News Gadget are back up and operational, so if you guys are looking forward to that, it completely went unnoticed. I was supposed to pay money for it, and so that just came and went. But it's okay. I paid money. We're back on track. We are back online, so head on over to forum.technewsgadget.net to join. It's free to join, free to comment. We have lots of fun over there. Also, be sure to head on over to podcastawards.com and nominate this show, the latest in tech news, for an award. We are currently listed in the technology and people's choice category. Nominations are going to be wrapping up in just a couple of weeks with the full slate to be voted on in the coming month of August, I believe. Yes. So head on over to podcastawards.com for all of that. Now, in case you're wondering, today's going to be a little bit shorter version of the show, mainly because I had a county fair to go to today where I live. It was the next county over. So I've been going there for like decades now at this point, and it's kind of tradition. So I was at the fair all day, working on my tan, looking at all the moo-moos and the oink-oinks and the cock-a-doodle-doos and the ribbit-ribbit and the boing-boing and what else goes? I don't know, whatever else noises there. Oh, people talking, that was big. Lots of people talking. Oh, ooh, food for people to eat was also very big, and fun and games like rides and stuff, I guess, and tractor pulls. Don't worry, I'm a city boy, I'm not that, farm, I don't know, knowledgeable about. I mean, I know a little bit, but not a lot, but I like to go and see the animals. I like to see the 4-H stuff because I was involved in 4-H growing up. All that to say, I spent the whole evening there and wasn't able to research for a full show today, but I was able to put most of, well, effort in and be able to get some articles together for you guys. Now, it won't be all of them, but it will be some of them. So, with that out of the way, let's start with today's feature segment. All right, today's feature segment, obviously, is always today in tech history, and being that today is July 17th, 2019. On this day in 1975, Apollo 18 and Soyuz 19 successfully dock in orbit, and the astronauts and cosmonauts shake hands. This marks the first time in history that spacecraft of two nations dock in space. Also on this day in 1970, Ralph Baer demonstrates the video game system he invented, simply called the Brown Box, to Magnavox Engineering and Production and Marketing Management in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Previously, Baer had demoed the Brown Box to other TV manufacturers, including RCA, GE, Zenith, Sylvania, and Magnavox themselves, without any licensing agreements. A licensing agreement with RCA was written but canceled in March of that year. It was this demo with Magnavox's VP of marketing present that would eventually lead to creation of the first home video game system, the Magnavox Odyssey, and the birth of the video game industry. In case you didn't know, that's how far back it stretches. 1970. Also on this day in 1850, the first photograph of a star is taken at the Harvard Observatory. The star photographed was Vega in the Lyra constellation, the second brightest star in the Northern Hemisphere. Also, and finally, on this day in 1997, a programming error temporarily threw the internet into disarray in a preview of the difficulties that inevitably accompany a world dependent on email, the World Wide Web, and other electronic communications. At 2:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a computer operator in Virginia ignored alarms on a computer that updated internet address information, leading to problems at several other companies with similar responsibilities. The corruption meant most internet addresses could not be accessed, resulting in millions of unsent email messages. Essentially, there's a disruption in sending email messages, and emails was on Fritz for that day. Well, good thing we got that solved. Good thing we don't have to worry about Facebook going down ever. I love 2019. Technology works when you want it to. Am I right? Well, if not, I guess that's life or human error. I don't know. We'll chalk it up to either or both. So I'll let you be the judge. Let's head on over to today's feature story. All right. Well, I heard rumors about this and some articles coming about yesterday, and I decided to look for myself. Guess what I found? Yes, it is possible now to buy a flamethrower attachment for your drone. This is actually called ThrowFlame, introducing the TF-19 flamethrower drone. You got video that goes along with it. We won't be looking at today's video, but as always, like I always say, if you're interested in reading the article or watching the videos associated with the articles that we cover on today's show, head on over to technewsgadget.net and click on the show notes, and you'll have all the links that you need. Now, if drones weren't frightening enough, now they can be equipped with fire-spitting flamethrowers? Man. Well, ThrowFlame's TF-19 Wasp drone attachment is capable of shooting targets with flames from 25 feet away. Every gallon of fuel capacity will get you 100 seconds of firing time, which is little less than 2 minutes. According to ThrowFlame, the TF-19 Wasp is made from carbon fiber and designed for drones with a 5-pound payload capacity or more. In the video above, the flamethrower is shown mounted to a DJI S1000 drone. The Wasp is built to withstand all sorts of conditions, both hot and cold, claims the company's product video. Now, a flamethrower mounted on a drone sounds pretty dangerous in the wrong hands. But as scary as it looks, the Wasp is really designed for industrial use. You see, it's a game changer for clearing vital infrastructure, igniting remote vegetation, and eliminating pests. Other use cases for a flame shooting drone, according to the company, are to clear debris from power lines, pest management and nest elimination, forest fire containment, backburns and pre-burns, and remote agricultural burns. So, there's a catch, because, well, there has to be, is that the Wasp costs a whopping $1,500, and that's without a drone. Add on the cost of a DJI S1000 Plus drone, which is shown in this video, which runs also $1,500, you'd be looking at a full $3,000 for the full setup, and that's minus probably the fuel that you'll probably have to refuel your flamethrower drone with. Needless to say, let's leave this bad boy to the professionals. Please don't build a flying weapon at home. And because I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, it's great, you can burn stuff. Yeah, it's great. If you are going to be one of those individuals, set up a bonfire in a nice location that you have, you know, taken the proper safety precautions for. Get this drone and the flamethrower attachment, set it up, and then show off to your friends and family as they gasp in awe and wonder as you say, hey guys, you gonna go light the fire? And then fly your drone out there and light it. And just say, yep, did it sitting right here on my porch. Didn't even have to do a thing. And I'll be, hey, good, pretty good. Just don't give it to Honey Boo Boo, because she probably even don't know how to drive that. So, yeah, I'm probably going to get in trouble for that, too. No, Honey Boo Boo doesn't need to worry about that. She can worry about her tiara contests and have fun with all of that. This is kind of along the lines of the not a real flamethrower from the Boring Company, Elon Musk's startup idea that promptly sold out of flamethrowers, which you can still buy for a nice $1,500 on eBay to this day, last I checked. And, well, let's just say for as much as some people have to be worried, I'm fairly certain that the vast majority of us are going to use it with the safety precautions in mind, do some cool things with them, but obviously nothing to, you know, that would actually cause harm. And if you do cause harm, you should probably be one of the people who don't go and buy it. I don't even care if it looks funny and cool when you're drunk off your butt and high as a skunk. So just don't do it. But what do you guys think? Flamethrower drones. Aw, yeah. Next up will be the pizza delivery drone. Yes, there's actually been rumors floating around about that too. It's just the problem of picking Pizza Hut, Domino's. I think they've all gone in on trying to figure out, could we go do like a pizza delivery drone? No, because they probably get worried that, you know, some Yahoo is going to be like, oh, look, pizza drone, shoot it down, bang, oh, free pizza. It's good. It's got a hole in it. And I'm out of focus there. Sorry, guys. I don't know. I guess, well, keep in mind, there will always be dumb people, and dumb people will always do stupid stuff. You can't ever prevent it, but there are laws in place to punish that kind of behavior, and just don't be one of those people. But this is pretty cool. I'm actually pretty impressed by it. If you are, let me know down in the comment section what you thought of the video that goes along with it, or you could talk about it on the forums. With that out of the way, let's head on over to the next story we got lined up for you. All right, well, if you have an iPhone... Wait, you don't? Well, rumor has it, apparently iPhone loyalty is dropping, a new report finds. Around 15% fewer people are trading in their Apple devices for new ones, according to Bank My Cell. I guess... I guess they let you sell your used phone and upgrade to a new one. Bank My Cell collected data from over 38,000 people trading in their phones since October 2018 to track Apple brand loyalty during the upgrade cycle. It found iPhone retention was down 15.2% compared with March of 2018. Samsung loyalty was higher, Bank My Cell said, with 26% of people trading in their iPhone X and moving on to another brand. Just 7.7% of Galaxy S9 users switched over to an iPhone, and 92.3% remained on the Android operating system. Now, in June of 2019, 18% of iPhone trade-ins switched to a Samsung phone, surprisingly. Now, using data from other companies to complement its own findings, Bank My Cell said iPhone loyalty is at its lowest since 2011, which is pretty surprising, compared to the 92% loyalty rating it found in 2017, it's sitting at 73% currently. When reached for comment, Apple didn't immediately respond to a request. Earlier Wednesday, Kantar reported that during the quarter ending in June 2019, iOS-based devices accounted for 36% of phone sales in the U.S., down 2.4% from the same quarter last year. Android phone sales were up 2.5% to 61% of all sales. Gartner also reported phone shipments are seeing their worst decline ever, estimating that global shipments will fall by 68 million devices this year. And seeing how most of the market, in terms of the United States and other first world countries, is like completely saturated by phones at this point, there's going to be probably a lot of jostling that's going to start erupting in the coming months and years, which is why a lot of the companies, you know, Samsung, Apple, all the rest of them, are trying to look towards other markets like China and India and a lot of other places, but they're having a lot of difficulty trying to get in there because not only is the government different, there's weird privacy laws in place and other weird restrictions that you have to jump through additional hoops for, and none of which any of the companies accounted for, and some of which have, but not to the best of their ability, and other companies have moved ahead of them because of that, and the barrier to entry is kind of difficult. And when you're a global market with smartphones, you're going to find out you can only go so far before you saturate the entire world, and then there's a lot of hiccups going along with it. It's to be expected. It's business. So, yeah. Why are we losing iPhone loyalty rates here in the U.S.? I don't know. remains to be seen. I'm still a happy user. Maybe it's because they're basing it off of this weird statistic that shows that people regularly, on a regular basis, upgrade their iPhones. To which I say, and to which most of the population here in the United States would say, is when I buy a phone, I want it to last for a good couple years or more. Is that too unreasonable to ask? So if I buy a $1,000 phone, I would like to foreseeably pay it off and use it longer than I'm making the payments on it. I'm not interested in leasing a phone such as I am leasing a car. I'm buying a phone with the agreement to pay for it in its entirety, and hopefully it's still operating well enough past me paying it off, whether I pay it off on the spot or pay it off after the payment plans expire on the wireless carrier that I pick, before it starts going haywire. Foreseeably, I'd like my phone to last 5 years or more. So the retention rate is, I'm a loyal iPhone user with the same iPhone. It's this really weird conundrum that Apple's put themselves into, I think, going, well, we gotta figure out how to sell more phones. No. The people who have the phones are happy with what they have. Why don't you improve on the services provided with the current phone they have? Yes, I understand. You have to come out with something new every year. That's your problem solved, not mine. I mean, I'm just a dude sitting here talking to a microphone, looking into a camera, and posting it on YouTube and podcast apps all across, you know, the internet to listeners all over the world. So I could be wrong, but you probably share the same thoughts as I do. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Maybe one day big business will learn. What do you guys think? Let me know down in the comment section. All right, well, you remember yesterday I talked about SpaceX's Starhopper test and that it was going to be happening today. Well, we have some bad news on that front, and if you're watching the youtube.com/technewsgadget video today, if you're listening to the podcast, you're totally missing out. It's all on the video. We're looking at a great ball of fire because it burst into flames during a static fire test. Didn't even get to hover. Oh. So SpaceX's test vehicle, a small-scale demonstration craft for some of Starship components, caught fire after what appears to be a fuel leak or dump following an otherwise successful static fire test yesterday night. Now, it's not clear why the craft suddenly burst into flames or whether it was seriously or even superficially damaged. The Starhopper, as SpaceX has been calling it, is a much smaller scale version of the Starship craft the company has in development. So, you know, they're doing these short flight called HOPS, hence the name. So it's being assembled and operated at SpaceX facilities in Boca Chica, Texas. It looks a bit like a toy, but it is a functioning rocket and was planned that this week it would do an untethered hovering flight at some 20 meters, a step above the short tethered flights it has already accomplished. But, well, last night's test firing of the engines seemed to have produced an anomaly. And we're looking at it on the screen right now. It's going into test mode right now and burst into flames. As captured by several in the SpaceX community, the static fire started and stopped, but flames continued to burn around the base of the engines. A stream of liquid, very likely water, is directed toward it, at which point the whole rocket appears to ignite in an impressive fireball. And then it does again a few seconds later, and you can see the whole thing. They actually have a video about it in 4K in Everyday Astronauts video. Now, it's unclear at this point what the cause of the fireball was and whether it was in any part intentional. What's certain is that this is not how previous test fires have gone. Generally speaking, you don't want your rocket to be on fire, even if it is highly heat resistant. So some are speculating that there was a fuel dump following the test that produced lighter than air vapors, which rose and surrounded the rocket. The water jet may have caused the small fire to ignite the vapor, producing the fireball. Reached out to SpaceX for any information, and we might not know anything yet. Probably give it a day or two. Images taken the next day don't show a molten pile of slag, and in fact, the vehicle doesn't look any worse for wear on the outside, but while that's a testament to the vehicle's durability and stainless steel skin, it doesn't mean that there's nothing wrong inside. A bunch of stuff could have melted and damaged out there, so if we hear back on further information from SpaceX. We'll probably let you guys know via Twitter, so stay tuned to that. All right, speaking of, well, more space fun, a crowd-funded spacecraft called LightSail 2 snaps amazing photos ahead of the solar sail deployment. And yes, this is an actual photo that we're looking at right now. Not Photoshopped, not digitally generated, an actual photo. So LightSail 2 may still have at least a few days to go before it begins its primary purpose by unfurling the solar sail it has on board and finding out more about propelling a spacecraft using only the force of photons, but it's certainly not wasting any time on its orbital voyage. New photos from the crowdfunded spacecraft, which is operated by the Planetary Society, provide a stunning high-resolution look at the Earth from its unique vantage point. And if you're like, did you cover this stuff before, Taylor? Yeah, I did. I did. I covered it probably like a month or two ago. The spacecraft just got a firmware update that corrected some issues with its orientation control after a test of its solar sailing mode, absent the actual use of the sail itself. The patch was uploaded successfully, according to the Planetary Society, and the spacecraft overall is healthy and stable as it stands. Now, the earliest possible date for solar sail deployment is July 21st, this coming Sunday, but that'll depend on the missions team's confidence in that it is actually ready to unfurl and use successfully. And oh man, look at a couple of these photos. Awesome. So LightSail 2's development was funded in part via a successful crowdfunding campaign run by the Bill Nye-led Planetary Society and continues to seek money on CrowdRise funding for its ongoing operation. Its goal is to test a spacecraft's ability to fly powered only by the force of photons from the sun striking a solar sail constructed of mylar. Now, this method of space-based transportation is extremely slow to get started, but thanks to the inertia-free medium of outer space, it could be extremely energy-efficient way for research craft to travel long distances. Now, in case you didn't know, it launched on June 25th as part of the shared payload of SpaceX's most recent Falcon Heavy launch. And, yeah, that's a juicy photo right there. I mean, if that was like a gumball, I'd be happy. I'd be set. But it's not. It's the Earth. And you can't eat the Earth. Why would you want to eat dirt, weirdo? Okay, well, we should probably get on to the final article we have for you guys before you actually lose it. Oh, you think I'm losing it? I get it. I'm the dumb one. Well, maybe it's a little bit too late. I should probably be getting ready for bed. It's been a long day. After a long day at work, and a long day at the fair, and a long day doing this, I think I deserve some sleep time. You guys probably do too, unless you're in the middle of trying to beat a video game mission. In which case, I'll say, put down a controller unless you feel led to snap it in half. In which case you do, you're the responsible party, so buy a new one. Do the right thing. Give it a break for a little bit, and then come back to it later. I guarantee you, you won't have missed a thing. And if you're having a problem with a multiplayer online game, just log off and try again at a different time. There's really no point in throwing a fit over it. That's what I figured out. It only took me years to figure it out. But yes, we have some gaming news for you guys for the final article today. Fortnite Season 9 leak, for those of you wondering, confirms a giant showdown between a robot bear and a monster cat to set the stage for Season 10. Yes, the final showdown is the next big Fortnite event, and it really is as ridiculous as it sounds. So, in case you didn't know, Fortnite Season 10 is nearly upon us, and the latest series of Fortnite Season 9 leaks and Fortnite patch notes have given us a pretty good idea of what to expect from the big transition, which is set to be marked by a special event officially known as the Final Showdown. And in case you're wondering what in the world was being built in the middle of the volcano, you've probably seen legs. Turns out it's going to be completely built soon enough. Fortnite fans have been colloquially referring to the event as Caddis Dugus, which is set to take place this Saturday, July 20th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 7 p.m. BST, and will supposedly allow players to witness a huge Pacific Rim-style fight, I call it a mech fight, between a giant cat-like beast and a mechanized robot bear. So, here's a really funny thing. Where'd the dragon go? You know, the dragon that was hiding in a mountain? Or was that a some cat, like, beast hiding there? I don't know. Whatever happened to that dragon thing? Maybe we'll find out eventually, but I was sitting there looking at the legs and being built in the volcano, and I was like, you know, there's really only one thing. If you guys are going to set this in the future, guarantee you there's going to be a big mech fight going on. Yep. Turns out I was right, but I didn't announce it here first until now, in which case I got it right, guys. I got it the whole time. I got it right. You should have told me about it. I could have given you the news. I bet I even had Ninja beat to the punch on this entire thing. Oh, wait, what's that? Ninja's on vacation. Tim's on vacation. What? I beat him to the punch. So developer Epic Games has been building up to the showdown over the course of Season 9 as Caddis, here you go, was first spotted encased in ice before moving its way around the map and eventually ending up near Loot Lake. Doggus, meanwhile, has been gradually taking shape over at Pressure Plant until the latest Fortnite update has pretty much revealed its final form, a mechanized take on the popular Cuddle team leader outfit from the game's early days. Oh, it turns out it was this cat-like thing, not a dragon. I was hoping it was a dragon. Players who have been collecting their share of Fortnite Fort Bites have also been treated to a special image that teases more about the big Caddis versus Doggus showdown, which will reportedly allow players to spectate from special sky platforms in real time and even show their support for either side via a new banner system. Now, it's unclear whether community action will be able to affect the outcome of the fight or if the winning supporters will receive any special prize for backing the right team, but it's likely that Epic will be teasing more info over the next few days leading up to the big battle on Saturday. In any case, just make sure you're in a match at the right time this Saturday, July 20th, and don't forget to equip that popcorn emote. So for those of you Fortnite players, I figured I'd give you some news. I'm actually excited myself, so yeah, what are your thoughts? Who do you think will win? Who do you think will lose? Post in the comment section, and we'll find out. We'll take a vote. Or maybe I should post this on the forums as well. Forum.technewsgadget.net. And with that wraps up this episode of The Latest in Tech News. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday. The Latest in Tech News can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Google, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed today's episode, let us know by clicking that like button and by leaving a comment. And if you're listening to the podcast, go ahead and leave a review. Appreciate the ones that are coming in. Always love reading them. They kind of help me out because I kind of wonder half the time if I'm just speaking into a microphone by myself. So thanks for the comments. They really mean a lot to me. So also, double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.